time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
The Astros' winning streak has ended as they fell 7-4 to the Kansas City Royals last night. Christian Javier was not on fire the way that we've seen him, and they just weren't able to really get it going. So the winning streak has ended, but we still love this Astros team. We still believe in them. It's still been a great June and July for them. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Sean Mapes is back behind the glass, and Paul Gallant, what's up?
Hi. So... I have many thoughts right now.
Okay.
Let's just start with the fact that your boy has the COVID.
The Rona.
So he has to do the show from his home and thought that things would be set up by the time that the show started. Alas, failures in communication. So here I am, and the Astros winning streak has ended. So, I mean, everyone's just in a great spiffy mood. It's great, you know, and here I am doing a show with my cat currently biting my leg. It's great.
Paul,
fun,
Paul is, just for, so everybody, full transparency, Paul is on our HRMP guest line right now. Shout out
See,
to
we're
HRMP.
Giving the, we're giving the hotline as much of a shout out as possible.
We
this,
are.
This was the experiment that we wanted everyone to see, you know, and so, yeah, that HRMP hotline, baby, let's go, you know?
Let's go.
We're giving it the biggest shout-out of all time.
So you went to a couple different weddings. You went through a couple of different airports. You had restaurants. Did you meet a couple of strangers and bump and grind with them? Who knows? Where did you get the Rona?
I COVID when I, you know, licked the bar table. You
Help.
Know, it happens. You get a little rascally when you're out and about. So it's one of those things where... You know, you just got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do. Well, glad Paula had such a fun vacation that he came back with the Rona. But with all seriousness, very nice of him to get himself tested to protect others. Stay, you know, now he's staying home and saving lives, as they say. All right, we're rolling along on a Thursday. So Christian Javier, Paul, like we mentioned, just wasn't bringing it the way that he has. He struck out 7 while allowing 5 runs on 4 hits in 5 innings, and that was during that 7-4 loss yesterday at Minute Maid Park. This is not the Christian Javier we're used to seeing. I don't think much of it, but you had an interesting question as we were discussing the show on if you think he's kind of been figured out.
So I'll just ask it from this perspective. Look, we've only seen a limited amount of Christian Javier as a starter, and when a guy gets more and more reps, people see what he's doing that is successful, and they can adapt to it. And, you know, maybe this is just a sequence where Kansas City, who has been hitting the ball pretty well of late, just is hot. I mean, clearly this entire series, they have, at the very least, shown up for all of these games with the way that they have been scoring. But it does make me wonder, okay, this is a guy that hasn't been in the starting rotation for a particularly long time now that the Astros moved to that 6-man rotation. This is the guy who we've seen out of the bullpen for the most part. I'm wondering if there has been an adaptation made to Christian Javier, because they were turning on some of the fastballs he was throwing, and he was still getting people to swing and miss. But the way that they were making contact with some of those balls when they actually were hitting, I'm wondering if there's something that's going on that front. Again, not the end of the world. It's just one of those things that you wonder about when a team like Kansas City has the success against Javier that they did last night.
What we've seen with the Astros in the past, and I'm talking like even the past year, is just the frustration that every now and then they do drop a couple to teams that aren't very good. So they'll look spectacular against some of the best hitters in baseball, like Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani, but then they'll struggle a little bit against the Royals. But I'm in the camp with you where I'm not overly worried about it. The Astros bullpen, fascinating subject, Paul, because their rotation, their pitching, their relievers, their bullpen, their aces, their guys like Jake Odorizzi that just came back and Lance McCullers Jr., who we hope will be back soon. Their pitching is really what carried them for the first part of this season. What do you think of the bullpen? Bullpen getting gassed, the rotation, et cetera.
I mean, it's been a lot of work, and as outlined by Chandler Rome, 11 2/3 innings in the last three games. And they're a bullpen that's a man short because of the six-man rotation. And you're just seeing a ton of work from Abreu. And, you know, credit to him that he's, you know, pitching back-to-back nights and throwing, what, like 30 pitches or so, that at the very least he's able to hold his own. Ryan Stanek gets out of that tough jam. He hasn't allowed a run in 22 2/3 straight innings. But, you know, the big, I think, elephant in the room that's been a very vocal and annoying elephant is when is Lance McCullers going to return so that there's a bit of normalcy in this starting rotation and therefore the bullpen. And we're talking first world problems here. Again, this was a team that was in the midst of a winning streak. And honestly, I still felt at every single point in last night until the ninth inning that the Astros' offense is inevitable. It's a Death Star. It's just a matter of time until they break a game open with a big-time rally. But, you know, occasionally you are going to have some of these nights where, first off, your starter isn't going to have it, and your bullpen, on top of that, is not going to be able to, I guess, mow people down in the same way that, you know, they maybe would be if they did have a five-man rotation.
Are we on the Ryan Stanek all-star train? I love Ryan Stanek. I think he's so fun. Just even as a person, obviously a great baseball player, but he's got the hippie thing going on. I know our friends at Apollo had made some fun shirts for him. I like Ryan Stanek. Do we stan Ryan Stanek?
Yeah. The hair is something else, too, you know. We're talking about the all hair metal, hair metal team. He's definitely on it. You could definitely see him doing sort of a spoiler alert what Eddie was doing on Stranger Things. Yeah.
Oh, running up that hill. Is that the running up the hill show?
No. So there's another song which I hadn't heard before. It's music, most musically challenged person ever. I remember talking about it before the show yesterday. I was like, oh, Metallica was playing in the 80s, but it's a Metallica song. It's like Puppet Master or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I could see Ryan Stanek playing.
Wait,
that.
When did you Master think Metallica started?
That's a good question. I guess it started in the 80s. I don't know. That song was released on March 3rd of 1986. That's all I know about that.
I am glad that you are able to Google and that you have the computer in front of you.
Yeah, that's all. It was really quick Googling right now. They started in 1981. That did surprise me. I figured for some reason that they were like early 90s and stuff, but nope, 1981, with an early album called Kill 'Em All, which is, problematic. You know?
A little bit.
Can they be canceled for that in retrospect?
Well, hey, we'll talk about the Cowboys with some hashtag controversial coffee throughout the show as well later on.
Black Rifle.
Yeah. So the Yankees owner, Hal Steinbrenner, said in a Zoom call on Wednesday something that I thought was interesting. He said, quote, "We all need to be concerned about Houston. They're a very good team. The games we've played so far have been close for the most part. It's going to be a challenge, but it's going to be a challenge for them to make no mistake." He then said that he basically stays away from history because he was asked about the cheating scandal. He said, "This is history as far as I'm concerned. I'm not going to relive history. I'm looking forward, not backward. And I'm going to be looking at the Astros. As has been pointed out, we're probably going to be playing them in some pretty big games." I have a little bit of respect for Hal Steinbrenner for saying, yeah, that's the past. That's history. This goes back to why we talked about Brian Cashman trying to actively bring up the cheating scandal, because I think he knows that if he flubs it with this team, the seat can be hot. Hal Steinbrenner showing some respect for the Astros.
Yeah, because it was horrific for Brian Cashman. Yeah. I mean, look, this is what he should do, Hal Steinbrenner. I think he shows some respect. I do wish that George Steinbrenner was still alive, because that guy was quite the character, and I think a perfect villainous leader for the New York Yankees back in the day, and sometimes a sabotaging, accidentally, leader along the way. But, I mean, the Yankees would be stupid to say anything else. You know, the Yankees right now are running away with the East, which is a tough division. The Astros are really running away with the American League West right now. I mean, the Seattle Mariners were playing very well of late, and they're still, like, what, 13 games back. So, yeah, they should, and they know. It's been their – let's be honest, they have been the Astros' bitch for, what, 6 years now, 7 years. I mean, it started with the one-game playoff in 2015, 2017 ALCS, and just go forward. Whenever these teams have met in big-time moments, the Astros have held the upper hand. And we saw, of course, too, recently in the regular season, the games between the Astros and the Yankees. And guess what? The Astros, they had the upper hand coming out of it. They're two superpowers. I think it's great for baseball that Brian Cashman has been pouring some gasoline on this fire.
You know, here, when you're not actually here and you do the voices, it's like it comes out of nowhere. When you're here in studio and I can see you, I know you're about to do the voices, but I can't see you right now, so it catches me off guard.
The voices are in my head.
The voices of Paul Gallant. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, you heard about yesterday, one of the biggest trades in the NFL, but what could it mean for those teams and why the chump change? That's next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we wondered who would win the Baker Mayfield sweepstakes, a.k.a. which team would finally make an effort to bring him in, which team would be willing to pay him. We know that we had some audio and some podcast appearances by Baker saying that he wanted to go to the Colts, and then the Colts were like, no, thanks, and then he said he wanted to go to the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. And according to Ian Rappaport, they did not want him either. So the suitor, Carolina Panthers, they acquired Baker Mayfield for a 2024 conditional fifth-round pick. Paul, this is a former number one overall pick. And a 2024 conditional fifth-round pick. It be like that sometimes.
It do be like that sometimes. Look, I think this is a pretty good win for Carolina, that they only had to give up a fifth round pick. It could be a fourth round pick. It's a pick that's not until 2024 too, so it's even worse than, you know, a pick in next year's draft. And that they figured out a way to get the Browns to pay some of that salary. To be perfectly honest, I thought the Browns were going to have to trade a draft pick away to get them off the books. So, I mean, I guess you got to give the Browns a little bit of credit. A situation that they created themselves because Jimmy Haslam said that we need more of an adult. Excuse me, someone in the Browns organization that was probably named Jimmy Haslam.
To Chris Mortensen.
Yeah, that he needs to be more of an adult. So it's a bit of a win for both parties. It's not a great win for anybody. I think for Cleveland, hey, you got a draft pick. You got something for him, and he's gone. And for Carolina, okay, you have an alternative to Sam Darnold, who should make you better than the worst team in the NFL. But, you know, it's one of those trades where a couple of years ago you would see this happen, and you'd be like, whoa! Because there was a time where people actually thought very highly of Baker Mayfield. I was on the internet the other day, Vanessa, and I saw that there was some callback to, I want to say, my guy, Nick Wright, where per Nick, Baker Mayfield versus Patrick Mahomes was going to be the Brady versus Manning of this generation.
Wait, Nick Wright said that?
Yeah. Listen, we all make predictions and sometimes
a few years ago. I was like, there's no way in hell Nick Wright said that recently.
If it was last year, Jesus, that would have been
I do
good.
Like when cocky media personalities, and Nick Wright seems nice, but I do like when cocky media personalities that are so sure of themselves get the at freezing cold takes. Makes
it's
me happy.
I wonder about that entire profession because, I mean, the reason that they're there is because they're so confident.
100%.
That they could roll with it when they're wrong. But, yeah, I'm always like, I mean, it could happen. Making, like, bold predictions, I guess, it's fun to do, but when you end up wrong, and you generally end up wrong on a lot of them, I don't know. It's kind of tricky.
The Browns will pay Baker Mayfield $10.5 million this season. They were able to trim over $8 million in cash and salary cap space. And the Panthers, of course, will have to pay Baker Mayfield as well, $5 million. Mayfield agreed to trim that off of his base salary. this is just, to me, for a guy that was expected to be what Baker Mayfield was expected to be, these numbers are just chump change to me. And you may say, oh, well, $10 million isn't chump change. Just look at what Deshaun Watson just got. I mean, it's crazy to me that this is where we're at with Baker Mayfield. So competition, quarterback competition, you have Sam Darnold, you have Matt Corral. Didn't they trade up to get Matt Corral? What's the Matt Corral situation? What's it going to look like as we're only a few weeks away from training camp? That's what I wonder. And I know that we'll have plenty of broadcasters in Carolina that'll keep us up to date on that. But what do you see going that way? And are you a Sam Darnold believer? Somebody, do you believe he can give that competition to Baker?
Sam Darnold's one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen in the NFL. He is just completely careless with the football, and that people continue to buy into this idea that he can be good. It's really something else. I remember he had a game against the Texans back in, I think, 2018, where he did show some glimpses, and I think people just continuously fall back to thinking, well, he's young and he can still learn. No, we know what he is. He's careless. He throws interceptions like just willy-nilly. I wonder about Darnold's placement on the depth chart because, look, we have seen situations in the past where a team brings in a veteran quarterback during the offseason, and all of a sudden the rookie quarterback has a good camp. So I don't think it's that far-fetched, the idea that Corral could potentially fight his way into it being a quarterback competition between he and Baker Mayfield. Mayfield's got to be the odds-on favorite, but I don't think anything is guaranteed. And this is definitely going to be the most interesting quarterback room. I mean, going into the year, you have two first-round picks. You have a rookie quarterback in there as well. Like, I mean, how often do you see a quarterback room where there are three guys who, at the very least, have a legitimate shot of starting a game going into the year? That's very rare.
And if you're David Tepper and Matt Rhule, I mean, you're just looking for something that works. You're just looking for a formula that a product that you can put on the field, because let's face it. I mean, even when they've had Christian McCaffrey, they've shown moments, but it just hasn't been enough.
No.
The Browns play the Panthers week one.
That'll be funny.
This is going to be funny for a myriad of reasons. We don't know if Deshaun is going to be playing or not. Let's assume that he's not going to be playing week one. You're going to have, Jacoby Brissett? Are you going to have a Jimmy G situation in Cleveland? There's a lot of different options that you could have, but the storylines of Baker Mayfield, look, there are stories, there are narratives, some of them are leaked. Was he toxic in the locker room? Was he liked? Was he not liked? You and I have talked about how telling it is that nobody has stood up for him. Very similar to Kyler Murray, right? Like, we haven't heard anybody stick up for Baker Mayfield. We haven't heard anybody stick up for Kyler Murray. It doesn't mean they're toxic quarterbacks, that they're awful people, but usually guys come to defense for their quarterbacks, and we haven't seen that. So week one, Browns, Panthers, you have to think Baker Mayfield is going to want to stomp the Browns, and they're probably not going to have Deshaun Watson.
It's Baker Mayfield's Super Bowl, no doubt about it. And I think it'll be funny, the build up to that week. I also am kind of curious as to if, who does he do the commercials for? Very curious as to if they have a commercial where he gets locked out of his home again.
Oh, God.
The Brown Stadium. It's like, oh, wait, but this time you're actually not allowed. You're trespassing. It's like you're
all of the
trying to break in after a divorce.
We also should just make a rule where athletes can't have a lot of commercials and be so focused on that unless they're putting a good product on the field. As
he's putting a good product into the commercials.
As cheesy as J.J. Watt could be, do you remember, you would have been in Seattle, but I remember J.J. Watt having on a press conference where he basically talked about rookies with endorsement deals and all that, and he told them, like, the work has to come first. Like, you have to be putting a good product on the field before you worry about all that stuff. I don't know.
I agree. The work has to come first, but at the same time, I don't think it's like this massive distraction.
That's true. Like, it's a one-day shoot.
You have generally in the NFL, Tuesdays are your off day. You can go record a commercial on your Tuesday off day during your regular season. And during the off season, too, you got plenty of time. Like, it's not like these schedules are so demanding that if you do something like this, it's going to distract you. The problem is, if you're like Baker Mayfield and you have all of the commercials and then all of a sudden you're not good anymore, that's bad. You know, Vanessa, this is what I'm most curious about with what's going on in Carolina now, because Baker Mayfield's there. So they have Ben McAdoo there, and Ben McAdoo, back in the day, had some interesting quotes about Mayfield back in 2018. So, like, heading into the after the 2018 draft, he was asked about Mayfield, and McAdoo is now the offensive coordinator for Carolina. He said that, quote, he's got an edge to him. I like that. He's going to lead. They're going to follow him. I didn't see a lot of pro-style football in his college tape, and if you're short, you have to be able to make up for it some way, somehow, and personality doesn't do that. I didn't think he was a great athlete. This guy is kind of like a pocket quarterback that is short and with small hands. That's what I worry about. So, you know, Baker Mayfield is someone who definitely focuses on slights made against him. That's an interesting thing to think about going into this. And the other is, too, that Robbie Anderson, when he heard about rumors about Baker Mayfield heading to Carolina, Robbie Anderson, like the Carolina Panthers' number one wide receiver, he was like, no. He commented on Instagram because he was stepping up for his guy, Sam Darnold, who we also played with the New York Jets. It's not the best situation that Baker Mayfield's walking into already, where you have two people that have been, at least in the past or recently, against the idea of Baker Mayfield on their team.
Big chip on the shoulder guy, even when there isn't a chip to be had. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, what's the most questionable bodily accessory you can get? We're talking that. We're talking the NFL. See how it all ties in. But first, Paul's going to tell you about Passive Investor Network.
Yes, the Passive Investor Network, baby. Look, we all want to make money, but it's hard to find ways to make money these days with the way the economy is. But look, real estate, that stuff always goes up. Land, baby. And the Passive Investor Network is a real estate firm that will help you find a way for you and your family to make real money down the road. How do they do it? Well, the Passive Investor Network basically scouts out the entire Houston area, and they look for parts of town that they think are going to be looking very, very spiffy in the not-so-distant future. They buy properties there. They flip them. They make them into really, really nice homes. You can actually see that entire process when you go on a Passive Investor Network bus tour. And when you go on these tours, they're going to show you some of the before and after. And holy guacamole, if you see some of the before and after, you are going to be stunned. They really know what they're doing. I mean, it's kind of like one of those things that you might see on one of those TV shows where people are flipping houses. It's really impressive to see what they do firsthand. And you can go on one of their bus tours. PassiveInvestor.net is the website. You want to enter promo code ESPN. Again, PassiveInvestorNet.com and the promo code ESPN. The Passive Investor Network. Look, you might be intimidated by the idea of putting down some money and investing it in real estate, but they're going to personalize a five-year plan for you. And I think you're going to walk away really happy. So why not give them a call or go to their website, passiveinvestor.net. It's the Passive Investor Network.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
62 days, baby. 62 days until the start of the NFL regular season. We actually just got the Texans training camp schedule. We'll be talking about that throughout the day. But for now, we go to Paul Gallant, my COVID co-host, who's co-hosting from home via the HRNP guest hotline. Paul,
yeah.
Number 62, the jersey 62 is fill in the blank.
The first pick of the 1945 NFL draft. It's Charlie Trippi, first overall with, get this, the Chicago Cardinals, which were an actual football team back in the day. So Charlie Trippi, who can forget that guy?
I loved, you know, Charlie. I think I dated Charlie, actually.
Yeah, he was a halfback and quarterback.
Oh, yeah,
wearing number 62.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Played at Georgia. He was 6 foot tall, 186 pounds.
When did he die?
Get this, he is still alive.
No, he's not.
He is 100 years old.
Charlie Trippi?
Charlie Trippi is 100 years old, born December 14th, 1921, in Pittston, Pennsylvania.
Shout out to Charlie. That's freaking awesome. 100 years old. The Chicago Cardinals.
Seriously.
Charlie, little did he know that he would be honored on a Houston sports talk show, but shout out to Charlie.
He is the oldest living member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the oldest living first overall NFL draft pick. and the oldest confirmed living former American football player. So, I mean, fun facts. Charlie Trippi, baby.
Old mother effer. Good for Charlie. All right. So yesterday, Aaron Rodgers did the most Aaron Rodgers thing ever, which is upload a picture of a tattoo that he got.
Oh, my God.
Now, here's the thing. I'm not against tattoos. I don't have any. Where I come from, a lot of people get tram stamps. I don't have one of those. But Aaron Rodgers did get a tattoo. I will say this. It's immaculate. Like, it is very detailed. It's very well drawn. You can tell that he went to one of the best people to get tattoos. The caption on the Instagram post said, "First tattoo from the GOAT himself. Grateful for his mastery and friendship. There's a deep and meaningful story and connection to absolutely each element of this art piece, and I'll share a little more about that one day. For now, just thankful for @tattooartist and his patience and artistry." I don't really know how to describe it. There's like a compass. There's an eye.
It is hard to describe.
There's two lions that are facing each other. One lion is roaring. It looks like there's a fan, a couple of stars, there's an ocean, some astrology mixed in there. Yeah.
I mean, my favorite part is the two lions that are growling at each other. And then you got this random eye at the top. This is some Illuminati-ish. No doubt about it. This guy, he's so classic Aaron Rodgers. Like, if you thought Rodgers would get a tattoo, of course it's going to be on the back of his calf, and it's going to be some sort of Illuminati symbol that I suppose is going to make him feel like he's
a part. I think it's his arm.
Is that his arm?
It's his arm. Yeah, he has nice arms. They look like calves.
Oh, I thought that was his calf.
Okay. Katie Nolan, I think, can be a little corny, too. She did have a funny tweet. "This is an arm that offers you coffee with grass-fed butter the next morning." Yes, it is.
Morning, yes.
Yes.
Well, you know what? I mean, that's good, because it's part of, bulletproof coffee? Like, you know, I don't know if anyone's ever done that before, but supposedly it like, helps stimulate enzymes in your body and it helps you shred fat.
I'm so tired of hearing about that. You know what? People smash on Herbalife. The energy teas and all of that, because it's a mid-level marketing scheme or whatever, they work. They curb hunger. Sometimes the things that work aren't actually the most high quality. All right, so what's the most questionable body accessory that you can get?
I have my
answer. What's yours?
Face tat. A face tattoo looks, I think, absolutely horrible, and I can't figure out why people get them, because guess what? You're probably not going to get a job when you have a face tat.
Mm.
Probably not. Unless you're some superstar, like singer or actor or something like that. Yeah, you're completely screwed. And the craziest thing, Vanessa, about my time in Seattle was just seeing the amount of people living in expensive neighborhoods that I would see at the grocery store that would have not just like one or two face tattoos, but like would have a complete face tattoo on. I'm like, how do you afford to live here? It is ridiculous. It's like $2,500 a month for a studio apartment. Where are you living? Are you in one of the enchantments?
With their parents.
Are you in the... I don't know. It's face tattoos to me, I think they're just such a terrible decision.
I have a very, very, very clear-cut answer for this that I feel very strongly about.
Oh.
I think that if you get a septum ring, which is the nose, the thing that looks like a bowl, like the ring around the middle of your nose... You're a moron. You don't deserve to be employed. You don't deserve love.
Oh my
you don't
God.
Deserve happiness. I'm being a little sarcastic, but they're just dumb. Look, I mean, I had a little.
How big a ring?
I don't care. It doesn't matter, Paul. Small ring, big ring. A septum ring is disgusting. It's attention seeking. It's everything that's wrong with the world, because it's saying, pick me, look at me, look at me. But then when you give that person attention, it's like they get annoyed by it. I hate people with septum rings. I can't stand
them. Wow, you hate them.
Yeah, I do.
Listen, I don't know. I mean, I've seen some girls pull it off. It's kind of hot.
You're horny all the time, though, so it doesn't really count. With all seriousness, everybody deserves respect and love, right? I just think septum rings are dumb and a little attention-seeking. Not a lot.
I like your
think they're very attention-seeking.
Vanessa wants them all put in jail.
I mean, if I had to lock somebody up for a body accessory, yeah, it would be a septum ring. Because here's the thing. You can pierce anything. Pierce your nipples. Pierce your belly button. Pierce the side of your nose like I did in high school. I had a little stud on the left side of my nose, but I didn't get a big thing like a ring like a bull in the middle. And those are always the people that are like, they want attention, but then they're like, don't look at me. Right? It's like you just can't do anything.
Definitely.
Right?
Why are you looking at me?
Septum ring people represent a portion of society I don't like that want attention, seek attention, want confrontation, want to be different, but then want to be treated like they're normal, like they're not attention seeking. And I just can't stand them. If you have a septum ring, okay. I just think you need to question your life choices. Again, you could have done the belly button. You could have done the eyebrow. You could have done the nipples. You could have done a lot of different things. And instead you chose a septum ring. I just don't get it. I don't understand.
I gotcha. I have one more.
Okay.
And I'm glad someone on the Twitch brought it up. Earplugs.
Earplugs?
Because, yes. So,
but what if you need them like to swim?
No. They're like earrings, but they're plugs. So, you know, when you pierce your ear, it's a very small hole that you're putting through the ear, right? I've never done it, but it's small. The people that get earplugs essentially
I know what you're talking about.
A massive hole in like their ear, the bottom of their ear, and so when the plugs are in, okay, it doesn't look weird.
Ear gauges.
But when they take them out, yeah, there's like this big like drooping like hole of flesh that's just hanging there, and I don't think it ever, you know, grows back. So once you do it, I think it's permanent unless someone can like solder your ear back together or something like that. I remember I used to work with at the grocery store I was working in up in Massachusetts, you know, when I was in college, was this one guy who worked with me, and he was a nice guy, but I remember like they would make him take the plugs out when he was at work, and he got, I want to say, like, earplugs that might have been over an inch in diameter. And they were just like, there were times where I wanted to, like, stick my finger in the hole and, like, tug on it.
Yeah.
It was kind of messed up. But I just couldn't stop looking at them. They're gross.
It's all about attention. And then, like I said, my issue is I sound like a 60-year-old man. But my issue is those are always the people that then say that they don't want attention and all of that. All right, we are going to talk about sports, including an interesting quote that Ron Rivera
said. No, that was much better than NFL talk.
Otani has taken over and a pro team that could turn Paul into an overnight celebrity. Twista, what? That's next.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, Shohei Ohtani has taken over. I think we knew that by now. Now, he wasn't spectacular against the Astros, but he was spectacular on the mound yesterday. 100 miles per hour fastball, 86 miles per hour slider, 92 miles per hour splitter. What are you seeing from Shohei Ohtani, Paul? At this point, I don't think anything surprises us, but it seems like on a week-to-week basis, everybody's just saying, wow, to quote Owen Wilson.
Wow. Oh, my God. He pitches and he hits. The novelty. It's incredible. What are you doing? So I saw this last night, Vanessa, and I got just a little annoyed. I guess because I feel like there's a lot of focus that's being placed once again on the Angels, who suck, despite having Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani, no doubt about it, very interesting baseball player to watch. But so last night, and we have a couple of clips of audio for this. First off, Shohei Ohtani, get this, did something that not many baseball players are capable of doing. He knocked in two runs with a single. On top of that, what else he did?
What did he do, Paul? Are you pausing for dramatic effect?
Oh, I am. He struck out 10 batters.
Wow.
Guess what else he did?
Wow.
He he stole a base.
Wow.
And he's the first player since runs batted in became official in 1920 to do all three of those things in a single game.
So you have Shohei exhaustion.
Look, it's more what he's doing is great. I guess individual accomplishments should be celebrated. But ESPN Stats and Info tweeted that out yesterday. And I'm like, okay, you're going to be able to keep on finding like random obscure like three-point, parlays in terms of statistics that you could say, this is the first time this has happened in forever. Because he is a pitcher that also hits, and he is very good at hitting and pitching. We haven't really seen that since Babe Ruth. So when you see that, oh, he's the first player to do this since 1920, 10 strikeouts as a pitcher, two runs batted in as a batter, and a stolen base, like it's impressive because there's been no one that's done it that's been doing any of this stuff for basically 100 years. He's the first in a century that's capable of doing both or is allowed to do both. And I don't know. I'd rather see all of Jordan's confusing as hell advanced statistics that prove he's the best hitter in baseball. Of course I'm biased, but Jordan's playing on a great team. Aaron Judge, I don't mind the ESPN Stats and Info about Aaron Judge because he's also playing on a great team. But Ohtani, some of these things, I'm like, okay, can we calm down with everything that Ohtani does? Like 10 strikeouts, we are used to seeing him do that. Two runs batted in, we are used to seeing him do that. And he stole a base. Okay, cool.
My theory on all things Jordan Alvarez is that, look, I know Houston's a big media market as far as media market sizes for TV and radio, but for professional sports, you know, it's not New York, L.A., or Chicago. My theory with Jordan is that if he was in L.A., New York, or Chicago, and we are sure as hell glad he's not, he may be getting some more of these tweets. You know, L.A. is L.A., and, I guess Anaheim is Anaheim, but L.A. But I do agree with you. I think that I think we've talked about him a lot. Now he is historic. I like his attitude, and I think that he is great for the game. Ron Rivera is great for the game of football. I do believe that. I think he's a good coach. I think he and Scott Turner, his offensive coordinator, are going to try to put something together with Carson Wentz and Terry McLaurin this year, and we'll see what they can do. But Ron Rivera had an interesting quote. When it comes to the Washington football team, obviously some of the things that they have endured, most of which Dan Snyder brought on themselves. Here's the quote, Ron Rivera. As I ask, please don't judge us from this happened at this point in time. We're going forward. We're changing things. We're trying to do the best we can. I know some people don't think it matters, but it does matter. It shows you can change. You can adapt. You can make things better. You can correct your mistakes. And that's what we're doing. We're correcting our mistakes. We're getting a lot of support. I can appreciate this quote by Ron Rivera, Paul. But the bottom line is that ownership hasn't changed. Like the coaching, the coaches were never, like, there were a couple of murmurs that maybe Jay Gruden was a little weird. But for the most part, the issues were always with Dan Snyder and the front office. The issues were never with the players or the coaches. So it's stunning, you know, and I know what Ron Rivera is trying to do. We're getting better, blah, blah, blah. No, you're not, because Dan and Tanya Snyder are still running the organization.
I empathize with Rivera here because he's being put in an uncomfortable situation by his employers who are expecting him to clean up a mess that has not been created by him. And it's a mess not just with team on the field that's been a joke for such a long time. It's a mess that has been largely created because the owner is a you-know-what.
Right.
So here he is, made readily available to the media, when the most interesting thing about this team right now isn't a Terry McLaurin contract extension, it's that Daniel Snyder is on a yacht avoiding a subpoena. And Rivera is the only one who's going in front of a microphone. I remember going back to 2017 in Houston, I could tell that Bill O'Brien was getting annoyed by every single person who, after Deshaun Watson went down with a torn ACL, who was asking him about Colin Kaepernick. And there were a lot of questions about Kaepernick then, because he wasn't that far removed from being in the NFL. And,
right.
You know, from what I understand, like, there were some in the Texans that thought, okay, well, I mean, with the offensive line the way that it was that year, maybe it's not the worst idea in the world to bring in a mobile quarterback as opposed to like throwing Tom Savage out there who's going to get like a horrible concussion in the midst of a game. He was annoyed that he kept on having to field questions there where those questions should have been directed towards ownership. Ownership does not make itself nearly as available as they should. And some guys are comfortable doing it. I know you're familiar with Jim Irsay, Jerry Jones, obviously, too. Some guys are comfortable sitting in front of a microphone and talking.
Right.
But Daniel Snyder's never really been that. And because he is essentially being a coward in hiding, he is forcing Ron Rivera to answer questions about this. So I get what Rivera is saying, but here's the reality. You know, like, no one's going to ask questions about your team. They don't care. What matters right now is that there is a football team under investigation by Congress.
I will say I do always, like, even owners that are odd or that have idiosyncrasies or, you know, like Jim Crane maybe didn't say everything that people wish he would have said during the cheating scandal. I always respect owners that put their names at least on what they say and sit behind a microphone, because as I've said a million times, sports bring a lot to cities, but city, like, owners ask a lot of taxpayers, owners ask a lot of fans. So I am a fan of that. And Dan and Tanya Snyder have somehow been able to avoid that. I don't know how. Well, actually, I do know how. It's because the other owners don't want to vote them out because they think their laundry would come out. All right. There is a sports league, ladies and gentlemen, that former all district safety,
yeah.
Paul Gallant.
Oh, thanks.
Is it all district safety in Tampa Bay, I believe, where you went to high school?
In Pinellas County, where for the St. Petersburg Times in, what year was this? 2006. I was the fifth best defensive back in the county.
Wow. Okay, so there's a league that we've talked about, and I want our listeners to know it could possibly make you a celebrity overnight.
Whoa. What's going on here?
What do you mean?
Oh, the league. I know what you're talking about.
Get me on the team is what you wrote in the notes.
Yeah. You want, listen, okay. All I'm saying
this is your subject, buddy.
You need to have an open mind, Olympic Committee, when it comes to the eventual flag football team coming out of the United States. And you know, something I remember about the Olympics back in my day, it was about amateur athletes. You know, athletes shouldn't be paid, you know? If you're going to have somebody that's competing in the Olympics and they're already, you know, being paid to play a professional sport, like, that's just not what it's about. It's about, you know, people that are not making that money playing. And I'm not making that money, but I want to make that money for the United States of America. I would like to be a part of the eventual gold medal winning American flag football team. I am very qualified. I am a flag football legend. You know, there's no film to back this up.
Yeah,
there's
we need proof
to back this up.
You always talk about our boss, David Gow, like you guys having some moments. I need to see them.
David Gow knows. Listen, I have this giant, stupid trophy in my apartment.
You would.
The 2017, I'm holding it right now, the 2017 Reliant Charity Game. Most valuable player, because David Gow just told me to run straight down the field and threw me 5 touchdown passes. And he was just bombing as far as he could.
That job security right there.
I've proven that I can handle the rigors of
the rigors.
American Olympic flag football team, which apparently is going to happen in the near future.
All right, Paul Gallant, he is going to become America's hero. If you did go to the Olympics, the problem is you'd be the guy that had like the Fu Manchu mustache and like this Olympic Speedo, like the American flag. That would be you.
Oh, yeah.
But would I cheer you on? Absolutely.
It's so little faith.
No, I have all the faith in you. And if you could see my face, you'd see that I'm smiling because I really believe in you. All right. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're talking a little bit of Astros and what we see for them, plus the hottest trade in the NFL that happened yesterday. But first, let's talk about your home insurance. TGS Agency is going to make it easy for you to pay less. It doesn't have to be a hassle to shop for home insurance anymore, thanks to TGS. They have a new system. It instantly shops 36 carriers in less than 15 seconds. And literally all you have to do is send your home address. You don't have to fill out any annoying forms. You don't have to talk to, none of that. So get out your phone, text the word money, that's M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system asks for your home address, you send it back, and you get that full quote within 15 seconds. Super easy process. So it's legit. The savings are legit. The company's the real deal. What could you do with $870? Their average customer from last year is saving even more than that. So again, shopping for insurance is terrible. I know, home insurance, it's so annoying. But it doesn't have to be anymore. Thanks to TGS. One more time. Take the phone out. Text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.